May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. The incomparable teacher, beware from our gospel lesson today. So what is the greatest evil found upon the face of the earth today? What's the greatest evil? Well, perhaps you might easily think of ISIS, those radical Islamists who behead, torture to death, rape and enslave women, and teach children to be suicide bombers. That's pretty evil. Maybe closer to home, you think of the monstrous acts of Planned Parenthood, harvesting body parts as they rip babies apart. That's evil. Or how about those horrific school shootings at Sandy Hook, for instance, and elsewhere? Children and youth gunned down, perhaps like those college kids in Oregon who were first asked, "Are you a Christian?" and then shot. I imagine you could bring some others to mind. And as abhorrent and evil as all of those that I've mentioned are, they are not the greatest evil upon the face of this earth. No, God tells us in the Word, in the majority of the books in the New Testament and many of the books of the Old Testament, that the greatest evil upon the face of this earth are false prophets and false teaching. It is the most deadliest and most abominable, most detestable, the most harmful and lethal evil upon the face of the earth. And why would that be? Because it undermines the gospel of Jesus Christ and places souls in eternal peril. The lies and false teaching can keep people in a permanent bondage to sin. It is spiritual filth. It causes people either to be lured into sin or made oblivious to their desperate condition. Clever false teachers, some claiming to be Christians, can change a word or two and do enormous damage to those who adhere to their falsifications. To those who bought the book, Skydiving Made Easy, please enter the following correction on page 12, paragraph 3, line 2. The words state zip code should really be pull ripcord. We regret any inconvenience this mistake may have caused you, like death. And yet it's the way of the false teachers to do just that. Twist a few words, and they give you a totally wrong message. False teachers and false teaching and false philosophies and made-up spiritualities, they abound today. In Knoxville, we have many fine, truth-bearing churches. Many. But since I've been here, 22 years now, we have had a growing number of false teachers, false churches that have embraced a gospel that is no gospel at all. And there seems to be no end of them coming on the scene. Now, Jesus is teaching in Jerusalem. His days, his hours are numbered. This is near the end of his ministry. He's teaching in the temple courts. And what does he say? Watch out. Beware of the teaching of the scribes. The false teaching that day that Jesus was confronting was the idea put forth by the Pharisees and the scribes that you could be perfectly righteous before God by your own works, by the way you lived your life. In fact, that's what they were proclaiming about themselves, that we were righteous and good before God. But they weren't. Not even close. Jesus rightly called them play actors, hypocrites. Oh, they did put on quite a show. Impressive clothing, calculated public presence, an air of authority and confidence. Deceivers. Just like today, we have deceivers. They were after money, these Pharisees and scribes, and would stoop as low as to cheat widows, the most vulnerable people of that day. Holier than thou, making long, carefully crafted prayers to prove their religiosity and their closeness to God. It was all a sham. No wonder they didn't get Jesus. His suffering and dying on a cross was for them too. By blindly holding on to their goodness and their righteousness, they missed the salvation that God was bringing for all people, including themselves. But worse than that, they were dragging people away from Jesus, away from the true light, true salvation. It's the worst imaginable sin. Jesus said, if you lead one of these little ones away from me, and it really could be of any age, it'd be better that a millstone was hung around your neck and you'd be drowned in the bottom of the sea. It is the worst sin to drag people away from Jesus. Now, the false teachers of every generation have this one dominant characteristic. I don't mean to put anybody on the spot, but do you know what it is? One dominant character. They all share it. Every false teacher shares this dominant characteristic. It has three parts to it, but the word lust. Lust for money, lust for power, and lust for sex. Every false teacher has this characteristic, at least one of them. We can go through one book in the New Testament that kind of summarizes this very well. 2 Peter, all of it in chapter 2 of 2 Peter. Let's take a little tour. Lust for money, for power, for sex. 2 Peter 2, verse 3. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they've made up. That's a common characteristic. They make up stories. 2 Peter 2:14, with eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning, they seduce the unstable, they are experts in greed. 2 Peter 2:18 and 19, for they mouth empty and boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves to depravity, for a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. I have not known a single false teacher to be lacking in one of these lusts, money, power, sexual immorality. Never known. Satan can wreck a whole crowd of people with one false teacher. Where are the false teachers today in Knoxville, in our community? Where are they? The most threatening heresies are of three kinds. In no particular order, first category is the health and wealth preachers. They claim to adhere strictly to the Bible, but they twist and contort certain verses of the Bible, and by doing so, they defraud people of the truth, and they defend their desire for prosperity. They are greedy charlatans. Often they're called faith churches. In a sense, these false prophets are saying you can control God. You can have what you say that comes out of your mouth. If you will just say it, you can have it. They urge their followers to have faith in, what do you think they urge their followers to have faith in? Faith in their own faith. That's the way they talk. Have faith in your faith. Now, I may want a Rolls Royce and don't have but bicycle faith. Guess what I'm going to get? A bicycle. That's straight out of a health and wealth preacher's sermon. If we say the right words, they tell us, God, who is in covenant with us, a favorite word of theirs, will act upon our wishes because he can do no other. We control God. But where is their talk of forgiveness of sins, of the vicarious atonement? Or for that matter, Jesus' warning about the sin of greed, about the love of money. Jesus says, your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. Paul would later tell us, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, led to the destruction of many people. And what about Jesus and his disciples? They had nothing in the way of the world's goods. According to the health and wealth preachers, they would have been sinners, or at least not successful. You can see the great allure of this false teaching that has afflicted a few churches in Knoxville. I'm not going to spend the time. I could name them here, but I'm not going to do that right now. But it is the chief teaching of the largest church in America, in Texas, Lakewood Church, pastored by Joel Osteen. The second greatest threat to the gospel are the many churches who have taken on the Bible, reinterpreted, dismissed whole sections of the Bible. These tend to be the more liberal churches who endorse the practice of homosexuality as God's will, and abortion being acceptable as a means of birth control. Many of these churches have syncretistic tendencies combining diverse religious beliefs. In other words, they call themselves Christian, but they embrace Buddhism as well, which a lot of the liberal churches do. Prince Charles, heir to the English throne, once said this, I personally would rather see it, talking about his title now, as defender of faith rather than defender of the faith, which would be Christianity. He does not want to elevate Christianity and thus Jesus over Islam, Hinduism, and even Wicca. These churches are cutting Christianity down, and they're robbing Jesus Christ of his glory and authority. Beware of them. And they are numerous in Knoxville. Finally, there are those who emphasize the law and holiness to the exclusion of grace that we have in Jesus. Though they will proclaim that you're saved by grace through your faith and not by works, then they'll tell you that if you do this, you're going to hell. As a pastor in Alabama, it was always one thing, and you can imagine what it was. If you drink, but I'm a Christian, I'm saved by grace. But if you drink, maybe that's changed over time, but they'll pick something. And if you don't do this, so really they teach a gospel of work righteousness, that you merit God's favor by your good life, I've always called these the stricter than God churches. And they tend to be very somber, and they also tend to be very, very judgmental. I'd rather see people through the lenses of grace, because we're all sinners. None of us obtain to the perfection and holiness that some of these churches think you can obtain. In truth, you're never going to be as holy as you should be. These churches do harm to people. They do. People come away from these churches, and there is a certain thing called spiritual abuse. It happens. So how do we counter these false teachers, these false doctrines? There's one surefire way. Read the Word of God continually. Know it, study it, know the true doctrines, learn of Jesus. You say, well, I can't read. Yes, you can. You can do it. Now, if you don't want to read the whole Bible, the whole Old Testament, okay, take a small section of the New Testament every day and watch what it can do to you, how it can prepare you to see what is true and what is false, and how it enriches your life. I know I've done this so often. I urge you to have a Bible and begin reading it. And if you miss a day or two or a week, just get back to it. It's kind of like exercise, isn't it? Oh, it's all over. I might as well eat a couple more donuts, because it's just, you know, which I like donuts, by the way, but. No, just get back at it. Just get back at it. We live off of Scripture. It is our life. The Word of God contains spiritual vitamins and minerals that we need to fight the good fight. In fact, I think it's really impossible for you to fight the good fight without being in the Word of God. As a true Christian, and I hope you see yourself as that, you have a responsibility to know what you're hearing from this pulpit is the truth. You have that responsibility. What if I'd go off the deep end? Or more likely, one of my associates. You have a responsibility. And there are times when I have misspoken, and someone has come to me, did you really mean that? You know? And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Believe me, there are pastors out there and false teachers who will take advantage of you through those three things, you know, be out of their greed, out of a desire for power, or God forbid, out of a sexual desire. You need to know what the truth is so you can hold your teachers and leaders accountable. You're not going to get it alone through just coming to worship services. As important as that is, you need to take on the Scripture yourself. It's kind of both end. I hope when you leave here today, you've been fed. Your soul needs feeding. There's a real thing called the soul. It needs feeding. And you can feed it by hearing the Word of God preached and by worship, but also you can feed it here. Don't accept poison fed to you. This is a matter of life and death. Now, Satan wants to wreck the church. By seducing pastors and teachers, he means to bring spiritual chaos. And I would say he's doing a pretty good job. I would. So we can't grow weary and decide to cease fighting Satan. It's kind of like a country that decides we're not worth fighting, our freedoms aren't worth fighting for anymore. We cease to do battle. Spiritually, we can't afford to do that. And so I ask you, parents, whose job is it to teach your kids the Word of God? It's your job. It is your job. Oh, we'll help, and we'll help greatly. But God holds you accountable. And I would say, until the age of, let's see, your children, until the age of 18, your children will say, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to do this. They're your children. You're the parent. They're the children, right? Now, some of you are beyond that age, you know, but you can encourage as grandparents your children to raise your grandchildren this way. Because this is what's going to happen to your children. They're going to be told that things in here are a joke. It's going to come quick, too. They're going to get into school, and they're going to hear all kinds of things. They're going to hear, you know what? It's really all right to have multiple partners, you know, sexual partners. It's all right. It's okay. We live in a new era, you know? We've learned things, right? And they're going to be told these things. And who's going to counter that? Of course the church is. But who has more influence on your children? I know when they reach teenagehood, you think, you know, you're waning influence. But remember what you've always said to me. I've heard many of you say this. My father used to say, or my mother used to say, or my adoptive parent used to say. Now, some of you didn't have that, and I'm sorry for you. Some of you didn't have good parents, okay? But a lot of you can remember saying that, right? And I have to commend you, you here, I'm preaching to the choir. You do bring your children here. You do encourage your grandchildren, right? And I commend you for that. You're doing a great job. Keep at it. Don't get weary. Be strong. Hold on. It's a great cultural battle. Our culture is trying to eradicate the Bible. Absolutely. It's a titanic struggle. And struggle we must. So if you love your family, read the Bible, come to know the truth. If you love people, and I hope you do, read the Bible, listen to it, so you can share it. We should not let false teaching go unscathed. So here's my challenge. Today, make the Bible the center of your homes, not the TV. Today, take Jesus and his disciples' warnings to heart and don't ignore them and put them aside. Today, stop the drift and stand for the truth. And together, we can make a difference. And today, out of love for people, do not grow weary or negligent or careless about the all-important truth that God has revealed to us and has blessed us with. Find a way to share it. Help bring people into the light. In Jesus' name and to his glory, amen? Amen. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.